Today's part of 1 Peter 2 would make a good 4th of July sermon. It would also make a good Thanksgiving sermon, as the older translations that begin with the word pilgrims. Believers are priests. Peter has already said that. We can go directly into the presence of God. It's not limited to a certain category. Believers are pilgrims, just kind of passing through this life. So we'll begin with 1 Peter 2, just one verse, just verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Middle of the sentence, stop. Our newer translation refers to aliens. I'm not so sure that the older one, pilgrims, isn't better. Because aliens now can include people that come from another planet. You know. So, anyway, I think most people would still remember the definition of pilgrims. Pilgrims are travelers. Pilgrims are just passing through a place. Christians are like this. We are here in this world for this lifetime, but we are just passing through. We are not of this world, as it sometimes is said. Philippians 3:20, we are citizens of heaven. Jesus said in John 15:18, the world will hate you. And then he says that hated him before it hated us. The historical pilgrims, like William Bradford, did read 1 Peter 2. They did get the reference of passing through, starting out in the Bible. It is also in Hebrews 11:13. Hebrews 11 lists a lot of Old Testament people who were passing through. They wanted a better country. They wanted a heavenly city. God had prepared a city for them. And then that gets applied to all of us. Abraham left his old country, Ur of the Chaldees in Iraq. Although whenever I think of the Chaldees now, I think of Detroit. Because a whole lot of the refugees have gone to Detroit. So there are Chaldean churches. They're sort of a type of Christians in Detroit. But Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees and never went back. Abraham looked for a future heavenly city. Then it gives a great big long list of the other patriarchs who were passing through, who were traveling through. In the New Testament times, Jesus just passed through. The apostles just passed through. And now the readers of 1 Peter and the readers of the book of Hebrews, they were passing through, and we are just passing through, looking forward to a future city. Pilgrims, spiritual pilgrims. The Bible word for church also means not really fitting in real well. Ecclesia. Ek as in out, exit, out. Ecclesia is calling. All believers are part of the universal church, and it actually means we are called out of the world. We don't really fit in real well with them. We are pilgrims. The Bible also says we are ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives, but it's not really home. Later in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, 12 and 13, Jesus himself was an outsider because he died outside the city limits. And then it says in Hebrews 13, let us go to him who is an outsider, bearing his reproach. For we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking a city to come. So Jesus was an outsider, didn't really fit in with the world. We are outsiders, we don't really fit in with the world. We are like ambassadors to tell them, but we are passing through. Life on earth is, number one, temporary. It also is like a spiritual war, which is included in the next verse, spiritual war, but also we're getting slandered, and we'll stress slandering more than fighting, slandering, verse 12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that they, in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. One Bible word for slander is diabolos, diabolical. It means to throw through. Balo is to throw. Dia is through, like diameter, although they were mainly talking about throwing a spear through somebody. Diabolical, slander, throwing a spear through somebody. The word for slander here in verse 12 begins with the word down. Throwing something through somebody, like a spear, or speaking down to them. So we will get slandered. However, we also get watched. And it seems like that while unsaved people might watch us, in the end, some might trust in Jesus as Savior from watching what we say and watching what we believe. They might see good things and trust in Jesus as Savior. We don't belong in the world. We are like ambassadors, but we display good things to the world. Many other Bible verses say that people are watching us. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your works and glorify, that's also here in Peter, glorify your Father who is in heaven. Philippians 2:15, shining as lights in a crooked and perverse world. People are watching. Now, you can be applied, they might watch if we do wrong things, but the main thing here is they're watching us doing good things. They're watching the excellent behavior. We are passing through. We are being watched. Usually the watching might lead to good things. We are not of the world, but here we are. So here we are, and they're watching us. Now, we're not of the world, but the next section will be, what about society? What do we do with society if we don't really totally belong to it, but we still live in our case, the United States, but they lived in the Roman Empire. And now the next reference will be, you're passing through, but while you're passing through, obey the government. That will be verses 13 through 17. And we'll read that whole section together. Not a part of the world, but, verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as to the one in authority, or to the governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do what is right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, even if the government would allow things that are wrong, don't do it. Use it as the bondslaves of God. Verse 17, honor all the people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Abraham Lincoln must have known 1 Peter 2. It talks about putting away malice in verse 1. And he talked about with malice for none, with charity or love for all. William Bradford and all the pilgrims knew verse 11. This also relates to American history, the section that we're looking at now. And we will talk about American history because it says to honor the king, which we rebelled. So we'll go back and forth with American history, although when it started, it was Roman history. And we'll make a list of what God says about the government. Number one, God causes or allows a governing authority. He either made a person a leader, or at least he did not stop it. So, lots of obey the government verses. Old Testament, Exodus 22:28. You shall not curse God nor the ruler of your people. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Daniel has two verses in Daniel chapter 4, and they almost have the same quote. But they say, the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. He bestows it on whomever he wishes. And then I think it's kind of funny. He sets over at the lowliest, or King James, the basest of men. So lots of Old Testament verses to obey the rulers, that God either caused that person to be a ruler, or at least he did not stop it. Obey the rulers. Now in the American system, we can wait a while because we get to pick our rulers. We can wait 2 years, we can wait 4 years, and then we'll pick a new ruler. So the general behavior here is obey them now, and then at least in our country, we get to pick who will be the ruler later. The Lord Jesus Christ was asked, should we pay taxes to Rome? He responded, show me a coin. Whose picture is on the coin? The answer was Caesar. And then he kind of talks about a separation of God and government. Church and state is the way we would say it. Whose picture on it? Render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Render to God what is God's. So kind of in Jesus' own answer, there's kind of a separation from religion and government. Obey the government. And that's Jesus' teaching. Here are the verses, Matthew 22:31. Mark 12:17, Luke 20:21. Paul taught also a tendency to obey the government, just like we see here in 1 Peter 2. Paul's lines are in Romans 13, which we started for scripture reading, and Titus chapter 3. In Romans 13, the whole section, verses 1 through 7, talks about the government. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God. And those who rule are established by God. Then it goes on in Romans 13 to render, that is pay, to whom all it is due, taxes to whom taxes are due, honor to whom honor is due. Titus is Paul's writing. It's a little shorter, Titus 3:1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and to authorities. So the general tendency, we will give exceptions here, but the general tendency is to obey the government. In college days, they said you can have the day off if you go to the state capitol and watch the Senate talking at the state capitol in Lansing. And what was happening then is the private schools and the homeschools were coming to the state capitol and they were going to disobey the government. Now, I thought that the law that the government passed had nothing to do with true ethics or truth. The law the government have passed is you have to be able to check the heaters in the furnaces to make sure they're safe. I should pick an illustration where the churches are right. I thought they were crazy. They went up there and said, we will not obey the government. You can't tell us to check the heaters in our private schools. I think if something is not against a higher law of God, then it ought to be followed. And I do not see anything in the Bible as thou shalt not check the heater furnaces to make sure there are no fire. So that was our day off. The Bible commands to obey the authorities. Closely related to that, the Bible gives examples of natural law. Natural law seems to be that everybody knows when wrong is done to them. They know that thou shalt not kill when some of their relatives are killed. They know thou shalt not steal when something is taken from them. And right on down through the list, natural law. You can go tell a ruler you've done wrong. They should legislate natural law. If they do something that is wrong, you can go tell them. John the Baptist told Herod, you did wrong. You took your brother's wife. You did wrong. 2 Samuel 12, the prophet Nathan told David, you did wrong. He talked about stealing a pet lamb. He talked about David's adultery. You are the one. You did wrong. In 1 Kings 18, Elijah told King Ahab, you are the troubler of Israel. So we should tend to obey. On the other hand, if they do something wrong, we can go tell them they did something wrong. We can assert our rights, and Americans have more rights. It's a little bit different. It started here. Some other countries are getting closer, but Roman government, not as many rights. We have rights. And Paul would use his rights. Roman citizens had rights more than Jewish people. And he said in Acts 16, you have beaten us without trial. He said in Acts 22:25, we would say it this way, no way. They tied him up and were going to beat him. And he said, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who was a Roman and uncondemned? So we have certain rights. If politicians oppose them, we can tell them they have done wrong. We can tell them, be careful about what you are to do, just like Paul did. So general tendency is to obey the government. On the other hand, we can tell them when they do what is wrong. The Bible tells us to pray for leaders, especially in the following verses, to pray for the salvation of leaders. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. First of all, I urge prayers and petitions be made on behalf of all men. Then it says, kings and all who are in authority. Next verse, that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So to pray for the salvation of all the political leaders. Number one, obey. Number two, you can tell them when they do what is wrong. Number three, pray for their salvation. Number four, if the government commands a disobedience to God, we do God first. There's no Bible verse prohibiting a heating inspection. So it seems like that ought to have been followed. There are examples of leaders in the Bible who are commanding what is wrong and God's people would not do it. The Pharaoh in Exodus 1, throw the baby boys in the river. Nope. The Pharaoh then would be like Hitler or Stalin or Mao. Nope. We sort of have a tendency to obey the rulers, but not when there is a higher law of God. We obey God's law first. King Saul got strange, and then he said that no one should eat anything. His son Jonathan had not heard this command. His son Jonathan had eaten some honey. And Saul commanded the soldiers to kill the son Jonathan. He has eaten honey. The people would not obey the king. is the phrase in 1 Samuel 22. So if they ask for something that is wrong, we normally obey them, but if they ask to do something is wrong, we don't have to obey them, commanding something that is wrong, like hurting children, like the Pharaoh, or killing people that really didn't do anything wrong. So King Saul ordered that, and they would not obey them. Several times in the book of Daniel, the government orders wrong, and God's people wouldn't do it. In Daniel 3, they were supposed to worship a statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not do this. They would not obey an evil command. In Daniel chapter 6, the Persians made a law that you have to ask petitions of the king. Only Darius the king. You can't pray to any god. And Daniel would not obey that. He opened his upstairs window towards Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day, just as he always did. So in general, obey the government, but if they ask us to do something that disobeys God, God is the higher law. In the New Testament, we have the wise men, the Magi. King Herod commanded them, come back and tell me where the baby Jesus is. They obeyed God's warning in a dream not to return to Herod, but to go home another way. So generally obey the government, but if they ask to disobey God, God's law is higher. In the book of Acts, the high priest, the 70, council or Sanhedrin, said that you should not, quote, continue to teach in this man's name. Then, Acts 5:29, Peter and the apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. So in general, obey the government. But if the government asks us to do something that is against God's law, we obey God, and we can suspend obedience to the government. They should do natural law. The reference to natural law is Romans 2, 14 and 15. Here are some of the lines. When the Gentiles who do not have a law do instinctively the things that are in the law, these are a law unto themselves. They show the work of God written in their hearts. It has been reassuring over the years that several of the Supreme Court justices know the phrase natural law and understand it. Even without having a Bible, people know when they are wronged, and the government should at least do natural law. They know stealing is wrong. They know lying is wrong. They know everything that is wrong of the main commandments. And this is actually natural law. Now, it's in the Bible. But even if they did not use the Bible, they know the natural right from wrong. The Old Testament held the nations accountable. The pagan nations who did not really follow the Old Testament Bible, they still knew natural law. The Egyptians, throw the babies in the river. The Assyrians, Babylonians, and Persians, like we already said, worship the statue or you can't pray anymore. Edomites and Moabites, the prophets criticized them. They were evaluated. Even if they didn't have a Bible, they knew the main rights from wrong. The United States must enforce natural law. The government should not enforce all of God's law. The natural laws, the main things, as far as doing all of the Bible, that's not the government's job. The government's job is not to make laws enforcing all of the Bible. Church should try to obey all of the Bible, but the government should not make people obey all of the Bible. There should be no laws you have to go to church. There should be no laws you have to support money to the church. There should be no income taxes collected by the government given to the church. And that's kind of how our country did it. The other countries were a little bit different. They all had state churches. They all had a chosen church. In sending books around, we get letters back from the government, and sometimes there was a Department of Religion, thinking mainly of Germany. I sent a book to Angela Merkel, and I gave it to her, and then it was the Department of Religion, the Department of the Church writing back. Well, the United States doesn't do that. We do not have any Department of Church. It should obey the natural laws, but cannot obey all the Bible laws. That's for the church to be doing. We come back to the line of honor the king. Well, honor the king unless the king commands something that is evil. The Bible did not say, thou shalt pay no taxes on tea. So if I'd been around, that would not have been enough to make me rebel. You know, honor the king, pay taxes on tea. Well, okay, it's not really against the Bible. The denominations kind of went this way. The Episcopalians were the most pro-British. That sort of makes sense because it was actually the Church of England. They were pro-British. The first to join the Yankees were the Presbyterians. They were Scottish for the most part. They didn't like England in England. They didn't like Britain over here. So when there was a revolution, the Presbyterians were among the first on board. So you have Episcopalians are pro-British, Presbyterians are pro-Yankee. The Mennonites and the Amish are pacifists. They try to stay out of it. The final group are like the Baptists, and that's what we are theologically, the most like a Baptist. We do a little bit different style, but theologically, we're mostly like the Baptists. The Baptists were in Rhode Island. Roger Williams started that province. And it seems like they tried to stay out. You know, it wasn't so important to pay taxes on tea. But the British did, over time, kind of make the Episcopalians the chosen church, and the rest of you, we will demand your denominations do certain things. That's kind of how the pilgrims got here. You have to use this common book of prayer. You have to read from this book. You have to use the Bible translation we give. You have to do it. So it's not so much taxes on tea, but it's kind of like trying to run everything. And then in the end, the Baptists did support the American Revolution. Now, he's Presbyterian, but I'll give you something I always think of when we sing Isaac Watts. We sing Isaac Watts song quite a bit in here when we're doing traditional singing. Joy to the world. You know, when I survey the wondrous cross, here's Isaac Watts. In the Revolution in 1780, the Americans ran out of wadding for their guns. No wadding to shoot rifles. And the Pastor Caldwell was his name, ran over to the church and got hymn books and said, give them their Watts back, to make wadding and shoot the guns back at them. So the Episcopal Church favored England. The Presbyterians wanted the revolution right away. The other ones kind of waited. Mennonites stayed out, but the other ones kind of waited a while. But in the end, they supported the revolution and did not honor the king because he was kind of making churchy laws. You have to do it this way. And they would not, therefore, honor the king. 1 Peter 2, we are pilgrims passing through this world. Others are watching. We want them to see good when they watch us and trust in Jesus as Savior. Number 3, submit to the government. especially when it's not a situation involving something against God's law. If it's against God's law, then we ought to obey God rather than men. The worst situation is where there are two governments. And I'm not sure I have an answer for that one. You actually had two governments with Britain and America. And you had two governments with the North and the South. And we hope that we will not have a division of governments, and that at least the federal laws will not be too bad, commanding us to do evil. We would expect the state laws to remain in the direction of doing what is right. That was God and government. The next section in Peter will be work ethics, God and working. The musicians, please.